Psalm 103. I want to give you a few thoughts out of this good psalm here, and then we'll have some more testimonies, perhaps a song, and then we'll dismiss. I want to dismiss about early tonight. We have a meeting with our building committee. I will share this with you. We have given a proposal. Brother Terry had put together a contract, and the building committee knew about this, and so we put the proposal for the property, and there was a counter they were asking $280. Brother Terry, along with the building committee, we said, well, you know, we'll put in an offer of $250, and they countered with $275. And so we're going to meet with the building committee tonight. Miss Weaver, it appears, and if I'm wrong, then, you know, it appears she wants to do business, but there's some contingencies, and, you know, we want to have the feasibility study done. And so there's some things that we need to consider. I think this is just normal, what is happening. The good thing is that it appears that Miss Weaver wants to do business with Fellowship Baptist Church. So we'll take that as a yes by her countering, and we'll see what the Lord has, because that's what really matters. Does God want us to do business with Miss Weaver? And I believe He does. And so we'll just pray and see what the Lord has for us. We'd ask you to continue to pray. And so that's where we are. The building committee will meet tonight and right after the service, and we'll just make a decision on what we want to do as far as our next step. Brother Terry and I have discussed some things, and he has a proposal to make to the building committee, and we'll discuss that in the meeting. So that's a bit of good news I want to share with you, a little progress by the acceptance of the bid with a counteroffer. And that's a good move, and we praise the Lord for that. I'd ask you, if you would, please, to continue to pray. We want the Lord's will to be done, don't we? Above everything else, we want God's will to be done in this process. While I'm on this, I will tell you, this is going to be a process, and I hope that everyone understands that. And we're not going to forget what's happening here. You know, we certainly realize that the process involves a property across the way, but we don't want to forget the ministry's here. And so there'll be a transitional time to that new property, if it be God's will. But we want to stay focused here. There's some things we want to do here to provide a little more room, more nursery space, more meeting space. And so there's some things that we want to do here so that we can continue to minister here and grow here where we are. And so you pray with us about that as we make some very important decisions moving forward. All right? Psalm 103, I want to give you about three thoughts out of this great psalm. Sometime in your private reading, if you have not, and I would say most of you have, I recall 2 or 3 years ago, I lose track of time, we memorized the first, I think it was 12 or 15 verses of this Psalm 103 in our Bible quiz league, and it was just a blessing, and it'll be a blessing to you to memorize this Psalm of Thanksgiving. 5 times in this psalm, you'll find this phrase, bless the Lord. It begins with bless the Lord in verse number 1, O my soul. And it ends that way in verse number 22, bless the Lord, O my soul. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. It's a psalm of recognizing who God is. That's the very first thing that the psalmist does here. Notice his wording here. And I want you to think about that as we think about this psalm. The psalmist is saying, he does what I think we all do. I certainly know I do it. The psalmist is kind of talking to himself, and he's recording perhaps a song that he had in his heart that he was singing to himself. But he's kind of talking to himself. Bless the Lord. Look at it in verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. So he's speaking to himself, oh my soul. He's just kind of just talking to himself, and he's saying, you know, I want everything within me to bless the Lord. I just want to thank God for being God. You know, I read the story about a man who was in his office, had a rough day, and his little son walked up to his office and kind of knocked on the door a little bit, and he said, come in. And so he went in, his little son went in. He said, what you want, son? He said, I just want to spend time with you. And I think sometimes that's what we need to do, is just go to God and just tell Him, Lord, I just want to spend time with you. It, it's
This is not about asking requests, or I just want to spend time with you. And I think every parent loves that when a child comes to them. And I think God is pleased with that. When we get this mindset of the psalmist, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." In other words, he said, I want everything about me to be thankful for everything that God is, who he is. Who is God? You know, notice what he said here when he was describing God. He said in the latter part of verse number 1, bless his holy name. Now, there was a lot of things that the psalmist could have said when he went to describe the person of God and all that involves God. We call that the attributes. The attributes of God. And this is his greatest attribute. God is holy. It's an attribute that's being made very little of today. People do not think about the holiness of God. They want to think about a lot of things. But you see, the holiness of God demands that we be holy. Because God is of pure eyes that he cannot look upon iniquity. And so this is one of those attributes that we really don't think about when we think about being thankful. Here's what he said. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. In other words, he said, I'm thankful for all that God is, and God is all that he is because he's holy. And I wonder if I truly realize that, if you truly realize that. He also said, I want all of me to realize that, not just my mind. He said, all that is within me. I want my mind and my heart and my soul. I want all of my being to bless the Lord. I want all of my being to be thankful. All, he said in verse number 1, all that is within me, I want to bless the Lord. He had a very high view of God because he said, bless his holy name. You know, it's a proven fact. You will be thankful to God. I will be thankful to God based upon my view of God. Now think about that for a moment. Really, it's that way about anything. Are you thankful for your parents? Your view of your parents will determine how thankful you are for your parents. Our view of really anything in life is going to determine how thankful we are for that or those individuals. And so he said, I am very thankful to God because I have a very high view of God. Do you have a high view of God? When you think of God, do you think of someone who can do anything? I do. I do. I just believe every word of the Bible. I'm amazed at how many people claim to be a Christian. You know, I read something just a couple of days ago. It said, you know, everybody wants to be a Christian until it gets biblical. You know, there's some truth to that, aren't they? I mean, you know, everybody wants to be a Christian until it gets biblical. And then all of a sudden, well, now wait a minute. Now, I don't see it that way. It doesn't matter if you see it that way. If God said it, then that's the way it is. And I'm just going to put it out there. I read things in the Bible that kind of jolt me too. Amen? I tell you, you read stuff in this book, God is holy. I'm not. I'm striving to be. I want to be, but I'm not. I haven't arrived. As Paul, we were studying it a couple of Sunday mornings ago, Paul said, I haven't apprehended. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. And I read stuff in this book, and it takes me back a few steps. The psalmist was speaking to himself, and he was just in one of those times in his life where he's speaking. He said, oh, my soul. He's, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. It's like he's speaking to himself. Like, you know, I have a lot to be thankful for. I have a lot to bless God about. And I want all that's within me just to bless his holy name. Do you ever get there? Sometimes when you're alone, maybe driving down the road or in your room or in that secret place, and you just your being is just filled with thanksgiving. Not just, now listen, we're going to talk about what God has done in just a moment, but this is just of who God is. This is not thanking God. He's not saying bless the Lord for what he's done. He said, I want to bless God for who he is. Bless his holy name. Now, he starts in verse number 2 and says, bless the Lord my soul and forget not all his benefits. Now he's going to talk about what God has done. But in verse 1, he's talking about who God is. And he said, to me, brethren, that's where it starts. Because what God does can change. Who God is never changes. And so I believe that all of our worship, all of our thanksgiving, everything that we're going to as far as worship and praise and giving thanksgiving begins with who God is. And so he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So what's your view of God? Are you thankful? Are you thankful that you know God? You know, if we're not careful, we'll take that for granted. We here in America, we have so much. You know, we have the Bible, and someone, I was speaking with someone not long ago, and we were talking about the many dialects around the world that do not have the Bible in their native tongue. And you know, we do. We have the Bible in our native tongue. And I just don't know if we really realize fully how blessed we are. Now, I'm not saying, listen, there's some people that do not have access to the Bible in their native tongue. That's not what I'm talking about. All right, the Bible is in their native tongue and they do not have access to it. I understand there are many people that way, but I'm talking about people that do not even have it translated in their native tongue. It's not that they don't have access to it. It doesn't exist. And you can go in Walmart. That's where I got my Bible, Sam's Club. You know, I mean, just, you go in anywhere and get a Bible in America. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And so I pray that God would help me to be mindful of who he is and that he's manifest himself to me. God came to me. Listen, God came to you too. You didn't go out on no quest. You didn't set out on a journey to find God. If you believe that, you're mistaken. You're mistaken. God came after you. God sought after you. Found you where you were. Accepted you in the condition you were in. And then changed your life when you repented of your sin and asked him to forgive you. That's a wonderful thing, brother. That's a wonderful thing. So we want to bless God for who he is, number one. Number two, and I'm not going to spend much time on this because there's a lot that could be said here, but I do want to give you something. So we thank God for his person, who he is, and then we thank God for his provision. And that's what he does. And it's already been said here. We could go on and on and on, but let's just look at some of the things the psalmist said. And I think we can agree with the psalmist. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. In verse number 2, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You see, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, right? They're his benefits, but he sheds them, he shares them, he gives them to us. And he says here in verse number 3, and you know, if we're not careful, we'll look at this totally physically. But I just can't help believe, because of the context and the way this is written, he's talking about physical, emotional, spiritual. He's talking about all kinds of diseases, and I'm going to talk to you about that here in just a moment. But look what he said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now, that word iniquity is a word that's very akin to being enslaved. So basically what he's saying is he set you free. All right, he loosed you. He set you free. You're like in a prison. And of course we know that there are, especially in the Old Testament days, there was the physical disease of leprosy that bound people, and they were put in lepers' camps, and they were in a prison. They just couldn't get out and go about and do. And that's kind of what this is a picture of. But also spiritually, people were in prison to their sin. Now you think about a person that doesn't have a forgiven spirit. They're in a prison. Can I tell you, when you get saved, God will help you to have a forgiven spirit. You think about people that are eat up with resentment. resentment, hatred, jealousy, malice. See, these are spiritual maladies. These are spiritual diseases, and God forgives. Do you really know? Listen, there's a lot of people that really don't think about what it is to be forgiven. Have you ever really wronged somebody? I mean, really wronged somebody and felt terrible about it, and you went to them and asked them for forgiveness, and you were maybe afraid that because of the nature of what you had done that they wouldn't forgive you, and then when they forgave you, it's like setting you free. You know, it's like you're in bondage to them because you hate what you've done, but it's done. And now it's like your liberty is in their hands. You need them to set you free. And when they do, it's like a release. Can I tell you, that's what happens. Brother Steve talked about it, and someone else, I think it was Brother Dan, mentioned it even tonight. That's what happens when you get saved. Aren't you glad? Did you notice what he said here in verse number 3? He said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Isn't that something? You've never gone to God in prison now. And that's what sin does. Sin imprisons. It enslaves. We've never gone to God and said, God, forgive me. And God said, no. Every time. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. God will set you free. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing, brethren. Now, I know that this is most probably the first application here in interpretation is the initial forgiveness at salvation. But can I tell you, that's not where God's forgiveness ends, and aren't you glad that's not? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. There are times in our lives that we just utterly fail God and just make a mess of things, and we go to God and we feel in prison, we feel in bondage because we know, I've wrecked this, and we go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. And God says, I forgive you. And it's just like a release. It's like being, getting out of prison. It's just a wonderful thing. And so he said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases. You know, it's been proven that our spirits and our emotions and the inward diseases are in direct line with the physical diseases that oftentimes we encounter. You know, you can worry yourself. You know, there's that little colloquial, that phrase, you worry yourself to death. Well, there's people who actually do that. I mean, it's real. And there's things that we do that when we hold grudges and we have these attitudes, it affects us physically. And so I believe what he's saying here, who healeth all thy diseases, I think it covers the gamut. I really do. And it's a wonderful thing that God forgives us and God heals us. Yes, there's physical healing. And ultimately, God will give. You say, well, I prayed one time and God didn't heal. Well, God will ultimately give the ultimate healing. Amen? If you're saved, you're going to get a new body. Well, I had a loved one and they were sick and I prayed for them and God didn't heal them. Well, maybe he did and you didn't realize it. Amen? He gave them the ultimate healing when he took them to heaven and gave them a new body, amen. See, God can do that. And that's the ultimate healing. So he said, he healeth all thy diseases. And it could be physical. There's emotional. People go through things. You know, I have to often be reminded, and the Spirit of God reminds me, and I don't listen enough, but the Spirit of God does remind me, I don't know what people are going through. And, you know, in reality, brethren, none of us do. We really don't know what people are going through. I try to take into account that people are going through things that I have very little knowledge of. And so I try to approach situations with that in mind. And sometimes after you approach 10 and then 20 and then 50 and then 100 and then 500 and then 1,000 and then, you know, after so much time of being in ministry or working with people, if we're not careful, we'll start kind of grouping their situations together when not only is everyone different, everyone's situations are different. And we need God to help us, don't we? Yes, we do. We need God to help us to remember this when we're dealing with people. Now, here's what he's saying. He's saying in verse number 3, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, we don't know what people are going through. We don't know. Well, sometimes people's hearts are full of they've been through a lot emotionally, and they're, I mean, just a wreck. And I'm kind of a, I don't know, I'm kind of a brush the dirt off and go on. Amen. I mean, and God has reminded me sometime, hey, it's not always that way. Now, I'm not for pampering. I'm not. And I'm not for pitying. But we do need to empathize, and we need to minister to people. And I'm preaching to myself right now. All right? So just leave me alone. Amen. And get something from it if you can. If it applies to you, take it and apply it. Who healeth all thine diseases. You know, that's a comfort to me as a pastor. I pray it'll be a comfort to you as a Christian. If you really care about people, you can approach people and know, listen, I don't have the answer, but I have a God who does, and I have a book that I can take into any given situation, and I can turn to some scripture, and I can offer a helping hand, a caring heart, and prayer to a God who knows about your situation. Hey, that's wonderful, isn't it? And so he says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. It's a wonderful thing to be forgiven. And then he said, who healeth all thine diseases. Well, I must go on because I want to finish at a certain time. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. I think we can all relate to that. And I don't want to make light of it. That's wonderful. So he's talking about salvation. And then look at verse number 5. He kind of switches and he begins to talk about satisfaction. You know, I'm saved and I'm satisfied. All right? I'm saved and I'm glad. If people are waiting on this preacher to back up or turn around, by the grace of God, brethren, I'm just pleased. I'm pleased with who I'm serving. Amen? I'm serving the Lord. I'm just pleased with what God's doing in my life and what God's done. I have no intentions on jumping ship. I'm thankful. So, well, you know, preacher, people can fall. I understand that. I understand that. And I'm asking for God to give me grace to finish strong and to keep in His favor. But I'm satisfied. How about you? On this eve of Thanksgiving, can you, before the God of heaven, say, I'm satisfied? Look at what he said here in verse number 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. You say, well, tomorrow that'll be a reality for me, preacher. Amen. It probably will for most of us. Amen. But I want to say daily, God satisfieth my mouth with good things. God just daily, he's just good. He meets every need that I have. And I'm grateful for the Lord's goodness. Is there things that I want? Well, they're all of us. All of us. We have that little bit of, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, maybe greed or excessiveness. But I'm just thankful for what I have. I'm satisfied. He said, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, I'm still waiting on that part. Amen. It's on the way. I can tell you that. Well, let's get to the final thing. He said, I'm saved, and he said, I'm satisfied. And then look what he's surrounded with, and then I'll close with a thought, and then we'll get some more testimonies, a song, and then we'll finish up. We'll close our service. I want you to think about this for a moment. Here's the psalmist, and he's writing this song, and he's kind of talking to himself, and he said, you know what? And he's talking to himself and says, you know, soul, God is so good. I just want to bless Him. I want all that's within me. I don't want to come up short in any area, intellectually, emotionally. Everything about my being, I want to be blessing the Lord with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said, I don't want to take any of His benefits. Underline in verse number 2 the word all. Because sometimes if we're not careful, we'll look at the big. But it doesn't take long. And what we consider little becomes big. Right? Go without water a couple of days. Now water's big. Amen. We just go and get it and no big deal. But then something happens and we go without it a couple of days and now water's big. The same with electricity, and it's so many things in life. And so we want to thank God, and God help me and God help you. God help us to be mindful and to be thankful, verse number 2, of all His benefits, not just the ones that are big or we deem to be big, all right? And of course, that could get right on down to our families. Sometimes the things that we use the most or around the most, we take for granted, and God help me and God help you. God help us not to do that. So we said, I'm saved. When I'm thinking about these benefits, I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I'm healed. And then I'm satisfied. And then he said, I'm surrounded. Look in verse number 8. He said, the Lord is merciful. And he is. Amen. The Lord is merciful. Now watch this language here. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. I don't know that there's a greater verse in all the Psalms. And that about sums up God's actions toward us. But then he builds on it. Look what he said in verse number 9. He will not always chide. God ever get angry with you, preacher? You better believe he does. I know I frustrate God. I know that God looks at me and says, is this guy ever going to get it? I have a disobedient spirit sometimes. I'm not proud of that. But I'm glad that God doesn't stay angry at me. The Bible says he will not always chide. You know what it is? To chide is to be scorned. He will not always chide in verse number 9. Neither will he keep his anger forever. And I'm thankful for that. It says in verse number 10, it says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Amen. Speaking of mercy, this is it in its greatest form. Then he begins to try to measure mercy for us. Notice what he says in verse number 11. He said, you know, God has not dealt with us in verse 10 after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He was talking about mercy, and he said, well, here's how God's mercy, let me measure it for you. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. You can never measure it. Amen? You just go and you just look, and it's just as blue as far as you can look. That's God's mercy. And then he puts it in another form in verse number 12. He said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. Now that's mercy. Amen. Amen. Now he didn't say the north from the south, and you know why. Because you can measure the north from the south. There's a north pole and a south pole. You can measure north from south, but there is no west pole or east pole, right? You can't measure. You start going west, you just keep going. So he didn't say as far as the north is from the south. He said as far as the east is from the west, which means it just keeps going and keep going. God's mercy is just, it's indefinite. It's immeasurable. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. And the psalmist is as well. He says, and again, I don't want to just act like I'm just casually going through these because they're so wonderful. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And so he said, we thank God for his person, who he is. And we thank God for his provision, and it goes on. But I want to close with this. He said, we thank God in verse number 19 for his position, where he is. Now, where is God? Now, there's going to be times in your life you're going to ask that question. Okay, so, oh, not me, preacher. Well, yeah, you are too. Yeah, you are. You probably already have. You know, where's God? God, where are you? And it doesn't mean that some catastrophe or calamity has to happen for you or I to ask that question. Sometimes, God can seem distant. And you're reading your Bible, you're praying, and you just need the nearness of God. You just need to know that God is nigh. And sometimes he seems distant. And the Bible is here to remind us of this. Okay, look what it said. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. You say, preacher, where is God? He's where he's always been. He's on his throne in heaven. The book of the Revelation, chapter 4 and 5, 17 times, 17 times, the word throne is mentioned. Oh, John on the Isle of Patmos exiled a lot of political and a lot of religious and economical unrest. And God said, John, I want you to know, my position hasn't changed. I'm still on the throne. Amen? Write it down, John. I'm on the throne. And sometimes you and I just need to write it down. God's on His throne. And this is what the psalmist said. He said, you know, I'm thankful for who He is. And I'm thankful for what He does. But I'm thankful that I know in my heart where He is. God's not leaving the throne, brethren. No one's going to take that. It doesn't matter how dark the days become. And it doesn't matter how things seem, the direction they seem to go in. God is in charge. He's on the throne. So let's read this and we'll close. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening to the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His host, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What a great psalm. This Thanksgiving season, we ought to be thankful for who God is. We ought to be thankful for what He does. And we ought to be thankful for where He dwells. And I'm thankful for all of those things, and there's much more to be thankful for. I wonder if you have a testimony now. We'll have just a few more testimonies. Marcus, I'm going to ask you to come to the piano. Go ahead, Brother John. We're going to have some more more testimonies, Brother John.
I had a lot I really wanted to say, but I can sum it up